Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
So how many times have you been getting ready to go on a long car drive and you ask everyone, does anyone need to go pee?
Yeah.
Turns out that may not be a good idea.
Why?
Well, they say if you go pee just in case, even though you don't need to, you'll eventually train your bladder and you'll feel like you need to go pee all the time.
Right, but I feel like little kids always have to go pee and they don't tell you till it's too late.
And you know what? Like wives and stuff like that, girlfriends.
Oh, they pee every 30 minutes.
Just go schedule in those pee stops for them.
Well, they say telling your kids to use the bathroom just in case is a popular move before a long drive. But New York Times did a story on how using the bathroom when you don't need to isn't the best strategy. There's a term for it called proactive voiding, which just sounds grosser for some reason. And if you do it too often, it can train your brain to always think it's time to go.
Well, as long as I got a QT cup, I'm good with kids.
I was going to say, it's easy for the guys.
Yeah.
What I love is when the parents say, when a kid says, I have to go to the bathroom, and they say, no, you don't. And you're like, no, really, I do, or else I wouldn't say that I had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like when the kids are saying it. Like, no, you don't. You hold it. Yeah.
You can't always trust kids. They lie. But they say it's okay to do this once in a while. But if you do it a lot, your bladder starts to tell your brain you need to pee, even when you don't really need to. Now, I found this interesting. The average adult's bladder, depending on whether it's a man or a woman, can hold 2 or 3 cups of urine. So for the women, it's 2 cups. For the men, it's 3. That's why we have long-range tanks and we can go farther. We actually just have more storage there.
It seems like more sometimes.
Well, that's average.
Okay.
Cato, you could be special. You might have a gallon in there. I don't know.
Yeah, but I do know by experience, don't hold it till the very end.
Yeah, that hurts.
Boy,
yeah.
And then you get stuck in a car jam, like a wreck or something. Oh, and you're like, oh, man, I'm in trouble.
Or you can't get your zipper down.
I thought you just said you had a QT cup. You're fine.
Well, I do. If I have one, I'm fine. But I'm saying, I mean, you get there and you're sitting there and you're doing the pee-pee dance while you're driving is not good to driving etiquette.
Well, there's another problem with going when you don't need to. It can cause straining, which can weaken your pelvic floor muscles. Those aren't dance muscles. They're important. They keep everything in place. But they say if it ever does happen, the good news is you can retrain your brain. It just takes time. They call it mind over bladder.
I get it.
That's interesting, though, because I've also heard to strengthen the muscles to stop going to the bathroom midstream. I'm just throwing that out there.
I'm saying, as a man, that's not possible.
Well, how do you?
Why would it know?
Women can do that, but men can't.
What exercise is that at the gym? I want to see that machine. Is that the one where you sit and it's a butt blaster?
Oh, my.
Squats. That's what it is.
The big thing here is for the kids, they'll be able to tell their parents now, you're not supposed to do that. It's bad for my bladder. If the parents are like, hey, go pee before we go on this trip. Mm-hmm. They're like, I don't need to, and it's bad for me to do it.
Well, like I said, I have a feeling that kids probably hadn't peed in a while.
Yeah. Oh, you're statistically absolutely right. But if the kid's like, I really don't need to, then you shouldn't make them.
No.
But unless they're a liar. If they lie a lot, then I'd make them go anyway.
I like pee stops when I'm on a trip.
Oh, you like to break it up and walk around?
I like to break it up, because I get just stiff sitting in the car. I mean, from here to Myrtle Beach, we'll stop at least once, sometimes twice.
You need to get married.
Nothing says seeing America like stopping at every gas station bathroom along the way.
It's not everyone. Well, and I tell you, there's one you don't need to go to because we had to have napkins out of the car.
Yeah.
Because it was nasty and they didn't have any paper.
When you go several times, you know your stops, and you stop at that one every time. I go to rest areas a lot of times.
Well, a lot of times it's somewhere in between, like a McDonald's or a Wendy's. So we'll just stop, use the bathroom, take a little break, get something to eat.
In the woods?
At Wendy's or McDonald's.
Oh, I thought you said between at McDonald's and Wendy's.
No, like a restaurant like McDonald's or Wendy's.
Well, I always know I'm 163 miles from a Buc-ee's, so...
The billboards.
That don't help me, Buc-ee's, just to let you know if I got to use a bathroom.
No, but they have nice bathrooms.
Absolutely the best bathrooms.
You just have to stand in line for a little bit.
Buc-ee's is nicer than my bathroom at home.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
What's the dumbest thing you've done this week? A lot of us, you know, we forget things. I'll give you an example. Maybe putting Dawn dish detergent in your dishwasher, and you don't want to do that. Not saying that I've done that before.
It's okay to do that once in your life.
Yeah. I'd like to seen it. I used to love it when they'd put the Tide or whatever in the water fountains around town.
Oh, yeah.
And the bubbles would spill
it's
over.
It's bad, though. It takes a lot of cleaning.
It's fun to look at. You know, I made a comment just before and I said, I can't think of anything dumb I did this week. And Tom said, well, that was pretty dumb right there. Because you know you have.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm sure.
So these are dumb warning labels that will make you feel like a genius. We've talked about hair dryers. You know the one not to use it in a bathtub. Here's one for you with a hair dryer. It says, caution, do not use while sleeping.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, how do you even do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess you lay down with it aimed at you thinking, I'll just go to sleep while it dries my hair. Kind of like when you fall asleep under those big ones at the hair salon.
Yeah.
That is the best nap. Unless you're a sleepwalker and somebody has to watch to make sure that you don't get up and turn the hair dryer on.
That sign's not going to stop you if you're sleepwalking.
All right. Here's a dumb warning label for you. It's on a wheelbarrow. Okay. Or if you're Southern, is that wheelbarrow?
Yeah.
Caution, not intended for highway use. Like, if you want it to go 65 miles an hour, you might want to get the high-end model wheelbarrow.
I'm sorry, man. This just makes me hate lawyers.
Okay.
Because somewhere a lawyer said we have to put that on there.
Right.
Because somebody sued.
Well, I still hate the lawyers because if they sued, they had a lawyer behind them.
Yeah.
Okay. Warning label on a baby stroller. Remove child before folding. Like, who's trying to fold up a stroller with your kid still in it?
Well, you know, I folded up a pull-out sofa with someone in it just for fun.
And you're the reason for that sticker.
All right. Warning on a thermometer there. Once used rectally, the thermometer should not be used orally. Thank you for that one. Okay, so a power drill right here. Warning label, it says, this product not intended for use for dental drill. Like, who's doing their dentistry at home out in the garage anyway?
It's a DIY job.
I feel like when you use the word intended, that's not strong enough.
Okay.
It may not be intended for that, but it still could be.
Exactly.
Okay. So here's a warning label on take out coffee cups. Avoid pouring on crotch area. How are you drinking your coffee?
That's that lady at McDonald's years ago.
Did she get a lot of money?
But you know, when you read the details of the case, she actually had a good case against them. It was so hot, it literally burned skin off of her body.
Oh, wow.
All right. These are dumb warning labels that make you feel like a genius. This is a warning label on a bottle of dog medication that says, may cause drowsiness. Use care when operating a car. I'm like, what? My dog don't have a driver's license.
You know what? I know why that's on there.
I do too.
I know people that get like Xanax for their dogs and they use it themselves.
Oh.
So this place is covering their bases.
And not only that, I mean, most medications you get for dogs are for
humans too.
Yeah, so I mean, anything.
Except that heartworm medicine. That turns out not to be for people.
There you go. All right, here's a warning label on a dishwasher. It says, do not allow children to play in the dishwasher. Like, can they even fit in the dishwasher?
With the dishes out, they can.
Well, I saw a scary movie where a girl hid in a dishwasher.
That ain't
Don't
good.
Do that. Dishwashers and refrigerators will kill kids.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, warning labels that actually make you feel like a genius. This is a warning label on a box of rat poison. It says, has been found to cause cancer in lab mice. Well, we can't use this brand. It might cause cancer in the rats or the mice.
I think they're warning you that you might get cancer using it.
But who would use that? Well, using poison.
Because you're not taking it. You're just putting it, scattering it around. You're getting it on your hands and stuff.
Look at the people sick from Roundup.
I know. And I read something where if you live within 5 miles of a golf course, it affects you. Wow. And I live within 5 miles of a golf course.
Wow.
Okay. I'm not even close to it. Like, I can't see it, but it's still poisoning me.
They use that at Frankie's?
I don't think so. I think you're safe.
Okay. Yeah. All right, warning label on a can of pepper spray may irritate eyes. Well, I hope so.
Hope so. The one that always gets me is the one on pillows and comforters. Do not remove under penalty of law.
Yeah.
Unless you're the customer. The customer is allowed to, but the seller is not.
Could you imagine the guy in prison for doing something like that? It's like, you know, what you in for? I ripped off one of those labels off a pillow. I wasn't supposed to. All right, warning label on vanishing ink markers. You've seen these vanishing ink markers, like for a little prank. Should not be used for signing checks or any legal documents. I'm like, you know why? Because sometimes the only thing I got laying around is a vanishing ink marker here.
Well, that's, that's somebody looking for a pen real quick, grabs it up, signs it, and walks away.
But that's awesome. You're like, I never wrote that check.
That's true.
Here's a caution label. Do not iron while wearing shirt.
I'll be honest, I've done that before.
I've done that one,
yeah,
too.
I know.
And they're
yeah.
right. You shouldn't do it. Especially if it's the kind that puts the steam through.
Oh, yeah. All right, warning label on fishing hook. Harmful if swallowed.
Dang.
I mean, I'm trying to hook fish, not humans.
What was that warning label for the fish?
Might be.
Okay.
Fish lawyer wrote it.
It could be. And then here's the final one. Warning label on a bar of soap. Use like regular soap. Well, how do you use the non-regular soap? Is there some non-regular soap out there? I have no idea.
I don't know. I've seen one go around on social media. It's a pizza box, and on the side of the pizza box, it says open box before eating pizza.
Well, that's helpful. Well, I have a quarter after laughter with Bill Engvall talking about toys and their warning labels.
We bought my daughter a bathtub doll. It's called Rub-A-Dub Dolly. Now, Rub-A-Dub Dolly floats around a bathtub with a little life preserver on. And on the life preserver, it says, this is not a life-saving device. Well, what kind of idiot would see some guy drowning in the river and go, here's a Rub-A-Dub Dolly dog. Oh, thank God you saved my life.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Cato is not a fan of ChatGPT or AI.
When I saw this morning, I said, he's going to talk about it. I don't think anybody wants to hear about it.
But they do want to hear about it. This is first of all, it's negative about AI, so I think you'll like that. And second of all, it's important that you know this is happening.
Cato, he is our radio geek squad.
This isn't geek squad. I wish you guys wouldn't make assumptions.
Well, I want to say it doesn't work because Stacy tried something this morning with ChatGPT and it gave out the wrong answer.
This has nothing to do with that. I'm afraid you may not have looked at the same story.
I just see headlines. I see ChatGPT and I close it
well,
out.
Okay, so you don't even know what I'm going to talk about.
ChatGPT.
You don't have any idea what I'm going to say.
It doesn't matter.
We find it intriguing.
It actually does matter. You're going to apologize to me at the end of this.
Okay. Shoot.
People are now starting to treat ChatGPT as if it's a religion. And some people are even worshiping it.
That's wrong.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. If you had a chance to ask God anything, what would you ask? Yeah. Well, people are treating ChatGPT as though they're asking God stuff. And they're even thinking they are accessing the secrets of the universe through ChatGPT.
Oh my gosh. They think
that through ChatGPT, God is talking to them.
Yeah, that's weird. Now, I have seen the videos where they'll ask, like, what's the most reliable religion? They'll ask ChatGPT that, and then comes back and talks about, you know, what they feel like is the right one, Christianity, and it'll tell why they say that and why people believe that.
Well, why don't people just ask ChatGPT, are you a religion?
Okay, and that's where it gets really weird.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who said that within 24 months, this is going to turn into an official church, that people are going to start worshiping AI. They will have clergy and organized services. Now, that may sound crazy because ChatGPT is really just an improved search engine that can even be flat out wrong sometimes. But if you spend any time on social media, you know there are people who sound like they're in a cult. And some of these people are actually starting to follow ChatGPT as a religion.
I could see how it could be used because you'll go and you'll search a sermon or something and find your favorite pastor, and it will be his words, and it'll be, you know, a sermon. You could construct a sermon from, like, and it sounds like a robot because he mispronounces certain words, like, you know, and you can tell. That's just them compiling a bunch of sermons together.
Okay, you're not really dealing with good AI then, because a good AI would make it look and sound like it was that preacher.
But is the preacher telling you the truth, the word, the actual word, or is it what someone that owns ChatGPT is telling him to say?
It could be the actual, like, word, because they compile all of his sermons together and then they put whatever they want to. I could see how people would try to do something like this.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm completely making this right, because you're not getting it, because We're not talking about worshiping some other person's words. We're talking about worshiping ChatGPT.
You're talking about people falling asleep in church. Like, you have that monotone voice giving you the sermon
Again,
and the prayers.
I don't think you're understanding. They're not worshiping what it says. They're worshiping it.
Yeah. It won't bring prayers. It won't answer your prayers.
Well, but how do you worship? You got to have communication to worship.
You don't have any communication verbally with God. It doesn't have to talk back to you. You're making it talk back through the computer.
You do have a relationship with God.
You may have a relationship, but you don't verbally talk back and forth. No one's going to hear that.
You do with the Bible, though.
Right. Just as much as you read the word in the Bible and you can gather insight and answers to questions that you might be facing through someone else's story, this is the same thing is happening with ChatGPT. People get on there and they think, I'm going to find the answer to all of life's questions.
Thank you, Stacey.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
I just went on. I just went on there and I said, ChatGPT, are you a religion? No, I'm not a religion. However, I can help you explore topics about religion, spirituality, philosophy, or anything else you're curious about.
Okay. Here's another ChatGPT question that was asked. It said, would there possibly be a rise of AI gods with human followers? And it said, yes, it's not just possible. It's already starting to take shape in early primitive forms. It may sound like science fiction, but it touches on several real trends in technology, psychology, and culture. People are doing it.
We're all at the bottom of Mount Sinai, and we're making little computers out of wood pieces, and we're worshiping them
instead
as
the golden calf.
Yes.
Okay, I got you.
And that's true. That's my whole point bringing this up was to say, I can't believe people are worshiping ChatGPT. Yeah.
Moses is going to come down from the mountain and break his iPad tablets. Instead of the tablets,
Moses,
you know, the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, well, you have to explain it.
From Paris Mountain or Roper Mountain? Which one's he coming down?
There you go. That's weird. That really is weird and doesn't surprise me because there's a lot of brokenness and a lot of broken people.
This is it easy.
To do something like that. Well,
is that a word?
I think so. Yeah. We'll have to ask ChatGPT.
What is it?
Idiocy.
It's a
dumb
word.
That you would do something like this. And that's why I don't want to be part of ChatGPT. You know, I don't want to be part of this cult.
I don't even know how to spell it.
IDIOCY.
Ask ChatGPT how to spell it.
But how I spelled it said is not recognized as a word.
You can start your own right there, religion. Idiocy religion. There you go. That's a weird one, though.
I think they beat you to it.
Yeah, we did.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
You know, we're always trying to come up with new, fresh ideas for dating here on the Hawk and Tom Show, and I think we've done well throughout the years.
Just to be clear, this is mostly for our audience, but also, I guess, even if you're married, you're trying to come up with fresh dating ideas.
Yeah, I think you've done well. I mean, you've had some great ideas.
I have?
Yeah. You might like this one, and it ties in with today. Hot air balloons.
No.
It's hot air balloon day, y'all.
Not a chance in the world. That's how you can tell I'm smart, is I've never, ever even wanted to go in a hot air balloon.
You know what? It's the most fun you can have with a wicker basket and a flamethrower.
I tell you, I've done it years ago, and it's the most peaceful thing.
It is.
The only thing you hear is the...
And then the screams of the people whenever something goes wrong.
Well, nothing went wrong, but the thing is, landing... They don't know where they're going to land.
That's
we landed in some random field.
They don't land. They crash.
They crash. Yes, you crash and you fall over.
It's
and
a gentle bump.
Yeah, gentle bump. But you also, because it was my first time, they do some kind of champagne toast, throwing grass
so you
on
were,
you.
Overall, it was a positive experience for you.
It was a positive experience that I would not do again.
Okay, I enjoyed it, and I would do it again. I will say this. I took my mom up. And she had like this dizziness.
Oh, great date idea.
She fainted in a hot air balloon.
Oh, my.
I was like, my mom's going to die up here.
See, the older I get, I'm scared of heights. And I think that would happen to me because the eighth floor of the Embassy Suites downtown overlooking the river, I walked out, looked over, and thought I was going to pass out.
Yeah.
That's not a good place to pass out.
No.
But it is an expensive date. I'll say that. Yeah. Like $500 to $1,000 for some of those rides.
It is one thing I regret not doing at Freedom Week in Aloft when it was around. Like, because you'd get in the tethered hot air balloon.
There, yeah.
That's the only way I'd do it.
Now, they do the Balloon Fest in Anderson now.
Oh,
there is a Balloon Fest now back in Anderson.
It's back, okay.
Yeah, wow.
But it's not Freedom Week.
The only Balloon Fest she's been doing is sucking helium. It's at birthday parties.
That'll make you feel dizzy,
it's
too.
Fun.
You know, I've done a lot of things. I've done that, whatever that thing is, where you basically take a free fall on a rope. Not bungee jumping, but the sky coaster, I think they call
something
it.
Like that.
It's at Carowinds. And I've done hang gliding. I've done a lot of crazy stuff, but I would not do hot air balloon. That's just insane.
I would think the hang gliding would be a little bit more dangerous than a hot air balloon.
We were over a lake. We just eventually landed back in the lake.
Okay. But the hot air balloon, like Cato said, it's so peaceful. Yeah. Why do you feel like it's going to go wrong?
Because they don't even know where it's going to land. Yeah. There's power lines and trees. Well, you see the crashes on the internet, and you're like, that's not a good way to go.
Okay, but they know what they're doing. The guys that engineer and girls that engineer those. And
they
can drive
you. That
the ones I went on were very good, but first hot air balloon ride was like in 1783.
That was the Hindenburg, right?
No, I don't think so.
It was Oz, wasn't it?
Wizard of Oz.
Didn't Oz go up in
the But imagine, you think about the Wright brothers who made the airplane and stuff. Imagine the first person's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to try that. I'm going to go up in this big balloon. And just see where it takes me.
You got idiots who strap helium balloons to lawn chairs.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's idiots out there.
That's true. But the first person to do that, even the Wright brothers fighting, like, who's going to do this first? We just made this airplane in our garage, and we're going to try to take off. Who wants to do it first? Do you, like, you push your brother to do it at that point?
Rock, paper, scissors.
Shoot. You know, but you think about some of these, and it's kind of like the chicken and the egg. Like, the first person that said, you know what, that just came out of that chicken's butt. I wonder what that tastes like.
You're talking about flying in the Wright brothers.
Yeah.
The idea of the wing lifting you off the ground is solid and very cool.
Okay.
The part is the crashing afterwards.
Yes.
Because they didn't really have a good way to control all that once it happened. They could prove that it would work, and they did it. But how'd you know how to land it? They didn't know what they were doing.
Mm.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, if you want a hot air balloon adventure and you want to stay grounded, I suggest you read The 21 Balloons by William Penn Dubois.
And the she Islander said read, Kato.
She said boudoir.
That's a great book, and it's a Newbery Award winner.
We'll wait for the movie.
Netflix. I'm gonna search Netflix today. See if that read.
Hey, well, here's our buddy Jim Gaffigan talking about hot air balloons for you.
Neither had any employee. I assumed eventually there'd be a safety briefing. There'd have to be a safety briefing. There was never a safety briefing. And like the sheep we are, we just start walking towards the balloon. But nothing about a hot air balloon ride is logical. A balloon the size of a building, an enormous Easter basket, and a blowtorch. We eventually reached the basket of our balloon. By the way, it was a physical basket made of wicker. Wicker! You know that stuff that can barely carry your laundry? It was supposed to cart my fat ass through the sky. We eventually landed in an empty soccer field. We sat there for like 10 minutes. And then this guy in this tiny car drove up, beeped his horn. We got in. He drove away. Then I was like, I don't even know if he's with the balloon company. There was a solid minute when I was like, I just volunteered to be kidnapped.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall is back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.